Good to see everyone here this morning. I want to join with Justin in welcoming the mothers in particular. I do appreciate being allowed to stand before you this morning and bring to you a lesson from the Word of God. One of the things that involves our Christian life is Christian growth. That's all definitely a part of it. We have to grow in order to continue to live. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as the lesson progresses. You know, all parents, we all have expectations. Mothers in particular, but also fathers, have expectations for their children. And one of the main things that they have for their children, one of the main expectations, is growth. One of the most fundamental ones is that way. We expect our children to grow physically, but also we expect them to grow mentally, and we want their talents and abilities to grow along with these things in proportion to their physical and mental growth. Well, God expects all of us who are Christians also to grow. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, he tells us, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He also said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." The writer of Hebrews told the brethren that they were expected to grow, and he actually rebuked some of them because they weren't growing as they should. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, "For when for the time ye," notice, "ought to be teachers." He had a timeline for them, and they weren't meeting it. So he's rebuking them to some extent. Says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Now, it is fine for new Christians to focus on fundamental aspects of Christianity, those basic building blocks that are the foundation of Christ and his teaching. And yet, we don't want to stay there. We don't need to stay there. We need to continue to grow and to build on those fundamental aspects and increase our knowledge beyond just the basics of faith. So in this lesson, I would like to talk about the proper motivation for growth, first of all, and then the different ways that we should grow, and then some things that we can do to help ourselves grow. Growth is important, but we must grow for the right reasons. If we're working to better ourselves just so we can please our parents, just so we can please our friends, just so we can show off what we know and what we've learned, things of that nature, receive the praise of men, then brother, that's the wrong motivation. We need to want to grow because we want to serve God, because we want to please God, because we want to be pleasing in his sight. And Jesus talked about that sort of thing in Matthew chapter 6, part of his Sermon on the Mount. And he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." And he goes on to say in verses 3 and 4, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." So whatever we do as some kind, any kind of a religious practice, we don't need to be doing it just to put on a show, but rather to please God and to serve God. Our Heavenly Father will see us grow. He will be pleased with us, and we should grow not because to please those around us, because we want to please God. Now, brethren, all living things have to grow. If we want to keep living, we're going to have to keep growing. Every person in here, the cells of their body are dying as they live. And if those cells are not replaced by new cells, we will all die. So we have to reproduce ourselves as time goes on. It's just the nature of the human body and the nature of the progression of our life. And likewise, we must grow as Christians, or we will not continue to be alive in Christ. We will spiritually die. Our bodies might physically continue, but spiritually, if we do not grow in Christ, we will die. And in the parable of the sower in Luke 8, we find an example of this and a warning. The plants that failed to grow the plants that fail to grow as they should, they eventually died. And Luke 8, verses 6 and 7 tells us, in reference to these seeds that were sown, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. So we should all want to continue to grow so we could be pleasing to God, as we talked about, but we also really need to grow so we don't fall away, so we are not choked out by the things of the world, and we want to put down our roots deep so that we can get the nourishment that we need to continue to grow in Christ. But one of the things that we should grow in, one of the ways that we should grow, is in our faith. Paul commended the Thessalonians, brethren, for the growth of their faith. He said in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, for because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Now, our faith grows as we learn more about the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17, it tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The more that we study, the more we grow, the more we hear the Word of God, the more we study it and gain it in our heads, so to speak, the more we're going to increase our faith. The Word of God strengthens our faith as we learn more about it. And Paul told the Corinthian brethren to be strong in the faith, according to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. The New King James translates it saying, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." So we need to be strong and studying the Bible and growing in our knowledge base of the Word of God will help us to be strong. And in connection with that strength, part of it is steadfastness. We'll be more steadfast in our faith and less likely to fall away if we are following and anchored in the Word of God. Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 15 tells us that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, alternatively that is, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Brethren, God's word's our anchor. It puts us in a spot where God wants us and anchors us down in that spot. And when someone comes along and says, "Well, you know, we ought to do this, this, and this," what's the word say? What does the word say? If it agrees with what that person's bringing in and teaching, fine, let's go, let's try it. But if it does not, we need to recognize that. We need to grow to the point where when someone brings a false doctrine to us, we say, no, we're not having that here. We're not going to be doing that because that's wrong. The Bible says thus, thus, and so, and it's not right. It's not where not what God's word says and not what we're going to do. And that needs to be our anchor, and it is our anchor if we'll go to it. But if we allow the opinions of men, if we allow flavor of the day, the styles of our, you know, society, what's popular among men, if we allow that to influence us ahead of and more so than the Bible, then our anchor's gone. We've just yanked it up, and we're not where we need to be. So as this verse talks about, we don't need to be just tossed from one thing to the next, as our society around us might be, as the world around us might be, the latest fad or fashion. But rather, we need to be anchored. We need to have that truth in love and grow up into him so we know what's right and what's wrong. One of the things Peter told Christians to add to their fundamental faith in his letter was to add knowledge. He said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, he says, "And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Without a good knowledge of God's word, our faith could be destroyed, according to Hosea 4 and verse 6. He said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They did not know what they should about God's word and what he said, and it destroyed their faith. It destroyed who they should have been." But growing in knowledge helps us to be complete also. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 13, where it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man," that is a complete man, "unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ." As we grow in that knowledge, notice the word knowledge here. As we grow in that, it leads us to perfection in that we will be complete through a knowledge of God's word. So we need to grow in that knowledge to avoid being caught up again into the cares of the world. But how do we do that? How do we help ourselves grow? Jesus told his followers in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Oh, I don't have that one in there. Let me see. Let me get... There it is. Told his followers in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And also Peter, as we talked about before in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now notice that involves the word desire. We should want to grow. We should have that hunger and that thirsting for the word of God, and so that when we have the word of God in our minds, that we want more and more and more, and we want to gain more and more knowledge concerning God's word. We should love God enough and desire to serve him enough that it keeps taking us back to his word and keeps helping us to grow. The first step toward growth really is to have that desire to grow. If we don't want to grow, brother, we're not going to. It's just not going to happen. We need to have that desire. Just as a little baby gets hungry and he wants that milk, we should want the word of God. We should desire, have that desire to study God's word and to feed on it and grow spiritually in Christ. But now growth, it takes effort. It's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen just without us trying. It's going to have to take effort to grow. And that's what's involved in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. He tells us to add these things, and it takes some effort to do so. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Then Peter warns against a lack of growth. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 9, he warns them and he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see afar off. In other words, he's nearsighted, his idea, as we would call it, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Short-sighted. He's not where he needs to be because he did not do what it said here in adding all of these things. He did not do that, and he's lacking, so he's blind. He's blind. He's not where he needs to be. He can't see where he needs to go, and he's not growing. So it is important for us, as he talks about in the next verse, to give diligence, as I've underlined it here. It says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, the very next verse, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now notice that word yet. Some have said, you know, that's the biggest word in the dictionary. If we do these things, we won't fall. What happens if you don't? We are going to fall. That's the whole thing. If you do not do these things, you're liable to fall. If we don't keep growing, if we don't keep adding and adding and adding one thing to the next, we very well could fall. And that leads me into the next things, is we can't be mature overnight. You know, a person who learns how to add 2 plus 2 can't the next day wake up and do calculus and physics. You know, it doesn't work that way. We're no different as far as our maturity in Christ. We cannot expect to suddenly go from this first thing here all the way down to the end and just having added all of those things overnight. There is a progression, is what I want us to understand. This verse tells us a progression of things as we go along in our life in Jesus Christ. And we recognize and should recognize that progression is necessary. Now, sometimes we get frustrated. We're like, I'm not where I need to be. Well, right, but keep working at it. You'll get there. We will get to where you need to be, but it does take time. It does take some patience on our part as we go along, as we read and we study and we learn more about God's word. And he talks about that kind of thing in 2 Peter 2 and verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when he says study, brethren, Another way that word can be translated is to give diligence. And it's also in the perfect tense, and that keeps going. It's not just a one-time act that we do, and okay, we've studied it, we're done, we can go, you know, go, go. That's not how it works. That's not what he means. That's not what this verse is telling you. It takes diligence. It takes repetitive and continual action and continual study as we go along through our Christian life. And just like this verse talked about earlier, add to, it's a progression. It takes time. It takes effort over a period of time to grow. Just as we learn our various things about the English language, about math, about science, we learn so much, and then we get that down, and we all learn some more, and we go through the different steps of the grades and so on. Our knowledge base and our knowledge in the Word of God is really not that different. It takes time for us to build that knowledge in our mind, but God has a timeline for us. Remember the verse in Hebrews, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers." He wants us to be at a certain point. And he's not too happy if we're not at that point. And we see the inspired writer of Hebrews rebuking these children, these brethren, for not being where they should be. And how do you think God feels about us? And he also can look down upon us and says, "Well, Gary is not where he needs to be. Gary should be up here, but he's back here." And he can do that with any of us if we're not progressing the way we should progress. And he's got a time. Now, granted, we're not all the same, and we're not all the same talents. We don't have all the same abilities. But God knows each of us. He knows where we should be in our abilities and in our maturity. And that's where we need to be. The way we need to work to get there. We should work and study and learn the Word of God so we can be where we are expected to be in Christ. But he talks about here that as we're growing, our faith may be tested. We have some trouble as we go along at times. And those things involve trials. They involve temptations and difficulties that come our way. He tells us in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now, sometimes when the Bible talks about temptations, what it's really talking about is something struggling, some struggle that comes into our life, some trouble that comes our way. And that's what he means here. We can see that as it talks about that the trying of your faith. That's what's going on here. That's the kind of temptations that he's talking about, is those that put us to the test, those that cause us to struggle. And we may think, well, you know, that's really a bad thing. It might cause us to fall, and it might cause us to fall away. Well, it might. That's right. It might cause you to fall away. It does cause some people to fall away, but if we overcome it and we deal with it and overcome it, it will cause us to be stronger because of it. The Hebrew writer assures us that chastisements are a sign that we're one of God's children. He says in Hebrews 12 and verse 7, he says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastiseth not?" You know, brethren, trials show us who our Father is. Trials show us who our Father is. And that's the thing. When we're going through a trial or a difficulty, we recognize it's not fun. It's not anything fun. And he talks about that in Hebrews 12 and verse 11. He says, "Now no chastening for the present time seemed to be joyous but grievous." Amen. It is. We know this is not where we want to stay. You know, we're going through a difficulty. We're having a trouble. We're struggling here. We're down in the valley. We don't want to be there, but if we can overcome it, it will make us stronger. And that's what this verse is telling us. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." It is a type of exercise for all of us who are Christians to go through a trial, to go through a struggle, to have that faith tested, and that things that come our way, they may help us to become better Christians in the future, and they will help us to grow and be better in Christ and grow closer to God. But we have to overcome them. We have to not let that trial cause us to fall away. Notice what it says here. Let's see. And there it is in the last one. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. When a trial comes our way and we fall flat on our face, I get it. God understands. The thing to do is just get up, dust yourself off, repent, and say, well, I learned something. I learned something about myself. I learned something about this or that, and repent of it and grow. Now, what happens if you don't repent? Then that trial wins, and Satan wins. And we can't let him do that. As Christians, we should not and must not let trials cause us to be lost. But we should do, as he talks about here, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Decide that we're not going to let it get us down. We're not going to let that trial that come our way cause us to be lost, cause us to stifle our growth, but rather overcome it, and you'll be stronger thereafter. Repent if you have done something wrong. And sometimes they cause us to fall short of where we need to be. Some trial comes our way, and they cause us to fall. Maybe we're not as mature as we should, and later on we recognize that. We say, uh-oh, I just messed this up. And then turn it around, repent, and go back and do better. And be resolved in your mind to do better in the future than what you have in the past. And you're stronger because of it. It's a form of exercise. It's not any fun, but it is a type of exercise that we can have as Christians. But we sometimes need to be warned that what we're doing is not right. Sometimes the good brethren come to us and say, brother or sister, you're not where you need to be. And we need to help you get out of this and need to encourage you to get yourself straightened out. And that's what Galatians 6 and verse 1 is talking about. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And look this here, considering thyself, this little bird here. You know what that means? Our attitude. Our attitude needs to be the kind of attitude that says, next week it might be you that's coming to me to straighten me out. You know, it needs an attitude of humility. It needs to be an attitude where we realize we're vulnerable also. We're not necessarily any better, but we are where we recognize something in someone else's life that needs to change. And you go to that person and you say, you know, the Word of God says this, but you're not doing that. We should approach them, though, with the right attitude, with that spirit of humility. Considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. You know, pride is always there. It's always something that can get us in trouble. And if we go to someone with this error of arrogance and pride, and well, we wouldn't have been, you know, we never would have done it. No, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. Got to have the right attitude when you go to someone to help them and overcome a trial, overcome something that's caused them to fall. But John had to rebuke the Laodiceans, for example. And sometimes faithful Christians need to warn their other Christians concerning their behavior so they will not be led astray and return into the world. But you know, being a Christian is not easy. But it is also not easy. It's not that easy to become a Christian. We have to learn what we need to do. But even then, it's even more difficult to stay faithful, as Justin's talked about in the past, that repentance. That's a very difficult thing. And it's necessary that we do that to become a Christian. But then we've got to keep on keeping on. We've got to continue to grow. That's when Satan decides, well, now we've got some work to do. He's got our full attention now. We've got his full attention if we become a Christian. So it is important that we grow in Christ. So let me encourage you today to be obedient to the gospel if you've never done so. In faith, repentance, confession, baptism, in order to grow in Christ, you have to be in Christ. And we need to do so by obeying the gospel. And that baptism is the final thing that puts us into Christ. The others just lead us up to that point. And then once we have done that, as we talked about, we've got to keep growing. We've got to grow and continue to grow. And it may be that you have gone through a trial and a difficulty and need to repent. We encourage you to do so. We'd be glad to be with you here and pray with you and encourage you to be better and stronger in the future than what you have in the past. We'd like to help anyone that needs our help if you'll let your needs be known as we stand and sing the encouragement song.
Have you been to-